Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We have sung here in the last stanza, "Tell me, do you know the place where the King dwells, where he loves to speak with you, where he sits enthroned forever? Soul, do not seek in the distance what lies so near to you. Not only above those stars, he is already here." And the Lord has said, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them." This is the promise of our Lord. And therefore we need not look far, but he wants to be in our midst, even tonight. We are so grateful that we are aware that his words are true and that what he has promised, he will also fulfill. And we have come to speak to him. We do not need to look far for him. He is already near. He is present, if only we can grasp it in faith. May God grant us grace. I would like to read a word before we pray. And then perhaps Brother Frank will minister with a word from Psalm 104, a few verses. Here the psalmist says, from verse 24, Psalm 104, from 24, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made, to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembles. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah." Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We have read here that through the word of the Lord, through his wisdom, all things were created, the visible and the invisible, the sea and the depths, and the mountains, and all animals, whether small or great, everything is there, and everything looks for him, that he wants to feed them. And it is he who gives everyone their due. Brothers and sisters, I thought we too have come and look out. Look up to him, because he alone can give us what no human being can give us. No one would be able to provide so much food for all the fish, for all the animals. God does everything. Everything is in his power. No one is able to give the human heart what it desires, what it longs for, as he alone can. We know that he opened his mouth and spoke words that inspired people so much that they had to cry out, "No one has ever spoken like him." Why? He spoke words of life. He gave them the right food. He still speaks to us today. He gives us the right food. Brothers and sisters, we are very happy and grateful for this. We want to honor him. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever." Yes, it will endure. All human glory will sink into the dust, but the glory of God will endure forever. For this we are glad and grateful, and we thank our God for all his works, for everything we can look at. We know that there is one who sustains everything, and it is also he who has sustained you and me up to this hour, up to this moment. And let us also praise him for this and offer him honor and worship. Let us rise now to do so. Faithful God, we thank you from the depths of our hearts for the hours that you have given us by grace. We also thank you for the food you have prepared for us at all times, O Lord. We need not worry about it, for you are our Heavenly Father. You take care of your own. Yes, you care for all, Lord. Even for those who reject you, Lord. You are the great God. You are the Lord of glory. We worship you, Lord. Lord, you not only provide for the earthly good, but you also provide for the spiritual good, O Lord. For this we are so glad and so grateful. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Lord, may it be so in our hearts. May your name be glorified, Lord. May we give you honor. May we praise your name. For you are a good God, a holy God, a faithful God. Lord, we want to join in with this psalmist. We want to sing praises to you at all times and bring honor to your name as long as we live here on this earth, Lord. Whether we sing or play, we want to do everything to honor your name, Lord. Accept everything, Lord, and accept the praise from all our hearts and mouths. We also thank you now for this hour. We thank you, Lord, also for what you will give us again, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you have already given us. O Lord, you sustain everything through your omnipotent word, Lord. Therefore, we worship you and praise your glorious name. Lord, we also thank you for the mighty blessings of the weekend. We thank you for everything, O God. We can't let it go, Lord. But we want to praise, Lord, all the works you do and glorify your name, Lord. For your works are marvelous, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, glory, and worship to your wonderful name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Well, I'm certainly not going to say anything tonight either. It's not so easy to be up here every time and bring the word of the Lord. And yet we are glad when we can come here. You can be so weighed down, depressed, and happy that nobody sees you. And when you come here, and the word of the Lord, the first sentence, the first verse is read, and you breathe a sigh of relief, you refuel, you are strengthened. It has a great meaning when you are in fellowship with each other and with the Lord. It's an incredible boost. I don't know what people do who stay at home. Either they are deceiving themselves or others. I really don't know. The need for church services is simply there. You can't avoid it. Well, there are so many things on our hearts. Firstly, that God comes into His own. And secondly, that we all come into our own. In the kingdom of God, we have a God-given right. And there is a sermon, I don't know which one at the moment, where Brother Branham says that if Satan disputes our divine right, then we can use force in the name of the Lord and speak the word so that he gives up his cause and lets us come to our right. I believe this is in the context where he talks about a thief stealing people's car and then driving off. Do you all know that part? And then the people came, and then there was prayer, and then the Lord showed where the car was, and that it would be brought back, and where it would be put, with an empty petrol tank, and so on. And he said, the power was exercised in the name of the Lord, that the thief would no longer steal, but bring it back and say, here's the thing. But it's always so beautiful for us to hear what God has done. Believe me, when I read the Bible with all the reports, my heart feels good on the one hand, and on the other hand, it hurts my soul that we read about so many things and have so little ourselves. How shall God not give us everything with Christ? Now, when we sang the song, you all know, sometimes I pay attention to what is being sung, and especially the first and the last stanza. It says, who can grasp this mystery that is truth? Jesus Christ still walks our streets today. Jesus Christ walks. He still walks our streets today. Yes, how? Where? When? Where are his feet? Where is his mouth? Where are his hands? To summarize it, where is his body? His body is the church. As believers, we are his members. When he walks in you, in me, in us, not through the wind, not through the weather, but in his people. There is Brother Branham's sermon, God in Christ, Christ in the church, Christ in us. And that must all become reality. It must all become reality. But we are still trapped in circumstances. I am, of course, you are not. But we are trapped in circumstances, you could almost say, to the point of unbearability. But here it says, in the last stanza, only simplicity can grasp it, which forgets itself. Sometimes people are so quick to say, you can forget it. But not only that, you have to be able to forget yourself and remember the Lord in all your ways. Then it will go well. Jesus Christ walks the quiet streets of our hearts. Yes. But when the streets are in turmoil, when all kinds of things are lying on it, and nothing is quiet, and the Spirit of God is grieved, then who is walking, and what is then? Believe me, we want to be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. Something fundamental must happen to all of us. We must avoid everything human, everything disturbing, everything that conjures up an atmosphere that is not good. At all costs. Sometimes it's the little things, and the devil, as the juggler, literally makes a mountain out of a molehill. And lo and behold, everything is tossed to and fro. And then there is big trouble. God wants a church in which he feels comfortable, but the church is not made up of this building, nor of the chairs we sit on, but of us. If there is to be harmony in the church, it must be in you, in me, in us. And then it is there in everyone. I have always longed for a time, and it will surely come before the Lord appears, when the believers are truly one heart and one soul. I have said it somewhere, I hope not here in the pulpit, but somewhere I made the remark that no one is more foolish than the believers. No one is so easily offended, no one so problematic, no one so difficult to deal with than the believers. You can talk reasonably with every unbeliever, and there are never any misunderstandings. At least I have not experienced any. But I must perhaps add, for my part, I have no misunderstandings with any of you or any people who come under God's word, because I have an understanding built in by God. I don't think there is any need to have even the slightest misunderstanding. And I've said it long enough. If we are right in our hearts, we understand all things right, even if someone else may have meant things differently, we ignore that. We don't take the bite, but the right heart turns even the wrong thing into the right, and then God comes into his own. I wish that we could all succeed in every way. This has been given to me as a gift from God. So whoever wants peace with me can have it for all eternity. So, of course, there are also people who were even on earth when our Savior was here, and he did the best he could, and it wasn't good. There are people who can't have peace, and an angel can come from heaven, and they would have a fight with him. They would quarrel with him, I tell you. And then he wouldn't be able to stand it either, and would certainly have to return to heaven. But we are interested in finding out how we can move forward with God. As I said earlier, we read the marvelous testimonies. By the way, I also have one to share. On Monday, Brother Kupfer called and reported with great joy and deep gratitude about what happened to Sister Barillet. You all know Brother Barillet. You all know him. You know the family. She had to have a bad operation on her foot, and the wound just wouldn't heal, and they had to operate again, and they were in great need. And last Sunday in Zurich, she came to the front and told it. And I laid my hands on her and said, "Sister, if you can believe that God is present here, believe that He has healed you now. Go in peace. You are well." You know that in the presence of God, this comes through the anointing, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, without effort. It's just there. And they went home, and she had to go to the doctor. And the bandage was removed, and behold, the doctor, completely astonished, sees that the wound healed overnight and says, "Nothing more needs to be operated on here. What happened here?" And then she bore witness to what God had done. When we believe, God acts. That is His word. He is bound by His word. But there must always be that spark that you can take the Lord at His word. By the way, on Monday, we heard from unbelievers, from strong Catholic people who were present at the funeral in Düsseldorf. I was told that they had heard many a funeral speech, but they were overwhelmed. It wasn't just one person, but at least three work colleagues. One of them shook my hand, and the tears came down his face, and he said, "I didn't expect that." People are still touched by the Word of God. It is really on my heart, and I believe on all of our hearts, that God could indeed bring about a restoration that is not lacking, that does not need to be helped along. And for this, it is necessary that we believe and that we treat one another sensibly and love one another from the heart, bear one another, accept one another as God has accepted us in Christ. We can neither change our appearance nor our nature. God alone is able to transform the inside. And when we know that, we leave it to God. And today, I had to think of the two scriptures again, Isaiah 56, and then also the parallel passage in the New Testament. There the word says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And where there is real prayer, God can bless. That's where we talk to Him. And there is no person who really talks to God who then goes the way he came. A person who has been in the presence of God, you have to be able to see it in this person later on. If that is not the case, we have spoken to the wind, then we have not had an encounter with God. If we have really had an encounter with God, I tell you, then something must have happened. And we need that. In Psalm 55, which I read today, there are some verses that address prayer. And I think we are here to pray and to bring our own requests to the Lord and also those of the church. Everything that has to do with the cause of God, let us bring it to the Lord from our hearts. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Do you sometimes feel the same way? We are not people who put on a mask, but people who honestly admit that they have sorrow, that they groan, that they sometimes actually waver back and forth, not in faith, but the hardship can sometimes be so heavy and the sorrow so oppressive that you actually struggle to move forward. But that will surely come to an end soon. But then new worries will come, someone has said. But here it is called out to us, or we call out to God, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. Do you realize that these men of God also admitted that they were still human? They didn't always sing their psalms on the top of the house, but were also sometimes low down. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Who can tell me where I should fly to? I'll take an aeroplane instead of a dove and fly there. If someone could tell me or promise me that I would find peace there, rest is in God. And God is not there where we want to fly to, but God is at the airport before we take off. God is omnipresent, and we need to realize this. Of course, David would also have liked to flee from all the circumstances and fly and find peace somewhere. Because, as we have read, it came over him like a horror, trembling and fear. And then he cried out, oh, that I had wings like the dove. I would fly until I found rest somewhere. Yes, who wouldn't want that? Well, if I wished for one thing, that would be it. Really, not just a temporary rest, that would also be welcome, but an eternal rest. In faith, we can say what it says in Hebrews. There is a rest for the people of God. those could not enter in because of unbelief. And God has appointed a today for you and for me, for all who believe. And it is written of those who believe that they enter into His rest. So do not fly away, neither with wings nor with aeroplane, but enter into God's rest. Then it goes on to say, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Well, how often do we utter words and sentences that cannot even be said here? And yet, God knows about our inner need, about our condition, and He is able to help. Even a wilderness is right for a person. I have sometimes said that one would want to be among snakes and scorpions if one were to come to rest. If one would come to rest. It goes on to say here, to find rest in the wilderness, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And then from verse 13, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That is the trouble. If some enemy, well, what does it matter? Has nothing to say, right? But a confidant, a friend, who we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company, who were here more than half an hour beforehand to experience the blessings of God, to wait for God, to experience what God will do. When it comes from that side, then it hurts. It hurts because the name of the Lord is being reproached, because the Word of God and the Church of the Lord are being affected. But God has given me one thing. Even when I read these Psalms, you notice, if you really know David, he called on God to always settle accounts with his enemies. And that's one thing we don't need. That's the difference between the Old and the New Testament, between the grace that God has given us. Here David says, I didn't even want to read these verses. I left them out here, but I'll read them anyway. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and in their hearts. Yes, both in the house and in the heart. If it is in the heart, it is in the house, and vice versa. It cannot be in the house if it is not in the heart, for the house is inhabited by people. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For they are many against me. David, as we have seen often enough, did not have an easy life, and there was no man of God who got off scot-free, but all of them traveled paths that were sometimes impassable. And since time is short and the devil has very little time, he has to use it and wants to do as much harm as possible. But with God, there is help and refuge. I don't know if you have read verse 23 yet. Here we are told what we should do, including me and all of us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that a marvelous verse? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Earlier we read, I sway to and fro, horror overwhelms me and tremble, and so on. But here it says that we should cast our burden upon the Lord. Haven't I learned that properly yet? Could it be that we struggle and toil and carry so heavily because we have not yet learned to lay our burden on him, to cast our burden on him? Could it be that we have been too clumsy or of little faith up to now, and that we ourselves have struggled with things that we cannot control, but to which we ourselves have perhaps been delivered by circumstances? But if we now take this word seriously, cast thy burden upon the Lord, doesn't that bring peace and assurance of faith to our hearts? Cast it on the Lord. I would like to say, Lord, let me know how to do this. You know, you get clumsy sometimes, especially in spiritual things. How should we do it? Sometimes we put our burdens on others and burden them too, and then they also sway back and forth. And one burdens the other, or puts burdens on them. And then in the end, everyone sighs, everyone complains, everyone suffers, everyone perishes. If only we could learn now to recognize things as they are, and then understand that the Lord wants to help in his grace. He wants to help. I almost said, must help. We are dependent on God's help, and I don't mean maybe. More than ever before, in every respect that concerns us personally. And let me also make this clear. Let no one think that I or anyone who bears responsibility in the kingdom of God would be reckless with any decisions. Decisions are forced upon us that we cannot decide for ourselves. If I could decide, everything around me would look different, completely different. But sometimes it takes two people, sometimes even more, to make it all possible. That circumstances can be such that the individual may not be able to influence them at all, that he is just someone, I almost said like a character, who has taken on a role in an overall game without having any decision-making options. But together we really want to lay everything before the Lord and ask Him to help us. It can hardly go on like this. We have the greatest blessings. The Lord speaks to us through His Word in such a way that I am both grateful and ashamed every time. That God, in His faithfulness, speaks to us like this. There is no meeting in which He is not close to us and meets us in His Word. And yet it seems that when the meetings are over, slowly but surely, the old things start to return. It catches up with us, if it doesn't overtake us, perhaps even run us over. And then we ask ourselves, what has God's Word been able to do to us? That today our refuge in the Lord could succeed for everyone. And we don't want to flee to the ends of the earth, as David says in Psalm 139, if I ascend up into heaven, and if I make my bed in hell, Thou, O God, art there, even there shall Thy hand lead me. But here, where we are gathered, God wants to meet us, to give rest to our souls. He wants to take away the sorrow under which we groan and turn all suffering into joy. We don't want anything extraordinary. We just want to serve God once more without care, to serve Him from the heart, and that at any price. But as we have read, if it were an enemy who reviled me, I would endure it. If it were someone who hated me, I would hide from him. There would be people, if they were unbelievers, you could go somewhere and hide. But no, it is you, a man like me, my friend, mine acquaintance, who we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That's where it gets critical. What did we say a short while ago? If the enemy takes unbelievers, what can he do to us? Practically nothing. He can, as we once experienced with the two brothers from Poland, who came here to experience all kinds of things with God, were baptized, and are now in prison as spies in Berlin. There have been things that are simply unbelievable. People come, but then they stand out. They were unbelievers. Even though they were baptized, scouted out everything here, worked in Czechoslovakia, and were supposed to take the whole report from here with them. But at the last moment, they were caught. But what is it? They were unbelievers. They were caught, even by the Criminal Investigation Department. Then they go to prison and that's the end of it. But the believers are never caught by the Criminal Investigation Department. They are always in the right. And what they do is always right. They are never guilty of anything. It's always the others. And that's bad. Here it says, and walked unto the house of God in company. What was it? Walking in the crowd to the house of God to receive the blessings of the Most High. There was an intimate bond, and that is the pain. That is the trouble. If it were different, it wouldn't be so bad. Then we could all bear it. But when it comes down to it, I think it was Brother Terai who recently told a dream about Heinrich Herrlemann that he had many years ago. I know him too. And he saw Brother Frank going up to heaven with a large group, all dressed in beautiful white, and then one group stayed behind. And Brother Frank, of course, went on. And then others stayed behind. And he still went on. And again, people stayed behind, dressed in white, but they stayed behind and didn't go any further. And the brother then said, you would have to ask him now, who was 100% convinced back then. Yes, he even came to me and said, imagine what God showed me there. And quite simply, you could ask, brother, where are you today? According to your own dream that God has shown you, are you one of those who still go on and who remain steadfast? Or are you one of those who are now left behind here and there? You know, sometimes you can run your mouth so full, and maybe God was even faithful and gave the brother a directive by grace and made him aware of it in advance, not to stop with this group and not to stop somewhere here or there. The way is for walking and not for standing still. You have to go to the end, no matter what comes or goes. You have to persevere to the end, because only those who persevere to the end will be crowned. There are a large number of people who will probably have to listen to a lot on that day, for it will not be so easy to bypass what God has done over all these years, and perhaps even revile or deny it. After all, at the very end, we are not dealing with people, but with God, whom we cannot get past, and to whom we will one day have to give account. But it is just such a deep pain when you think of all these things, and I wish to God that He would intervene, that He would still put us right, all of us. I don't exclude myself at all. On the contrary, I include myself. I want to be found in the will of God. One thing is very clear to me, and we should all realize this too. We will never achieve perfection and the complete alignment of the Word of God and the fulfillment of Bible promises in the permissive will, but only in the perfect will of God. There will be no other way. What this perfect will of God looks like, please leave it to God. No one is God's secret counselor. Outwardly, a thing may seem so right to us, and we may even have scriptures that fit it, and it doesn't have to be the case. We know very well that people in all churches, in all denominations, the same Bibles are read everywhere. Everyone applies it differently. We must have an overall concept of what God wants and submit to it if He helps us. Let us really lay it before the Lord tonight. and say, Lord, help Brother Frank. When I usually say, don't remember me, then I'm only saying it in connection with the fact that I don't want to be favored over other brothers. But if you want to pray, help Brother Frank, help Brother Rus, help Brother Schmidt, help all the brothers, help me, help us all, so that we can experience the help of God together and the Lord can go forward with us all, that we have a divine atmosphere in which He and all of us can feel comfortable. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your precious and holy word. What a grace that you speak to us. O Lord, in your presence we receive new strength. We may lay our burdens and everything that weighs us down on you. Cast them on you, O God, that you could keep us in this confidence of faith. And we ask you together to turn all external circumstances that hold our inner being captive, that you cannot unfold and reveal yourself as we believe and know and as you have promised. O beloved Lord, take us and reveal yourself. To your name be praise and honor, glory and worship, forever and ever. Amen.